get into it. This is another episode of For What It's Worth with Wes Hoffman. I am letting the music play. I'm in my studio now. I'm using a nice condenser mic here. I'm trying to up the audio game just a little bit. I listened to the other episode. I've got the music playing in the background. And I listened to the other episode. It didn't have the music in the back. And I was like, you know, let's just let it kind of play in the background here. So this episode is with Donnie Walsh from Grumpster. Grumpster is an awesome band. They put out an album last year that was one of my favorites of 2024. Definitely top 10. I absolutely love that record. It's their self-titled, just Grumpster record on Pure Noise Records. Make sure to check that out if you want to support them. Go to their Instagram page, go to purenoiserecords.com. And order a copy of their album. That would be freaking awesome. And if you want to support me, I'm just going to keep saying this on the podcast. If you want to support me and what I'm doing with this podcast or with music in general, you can order our record. It's weshoffmanandfriends.bigcartel.com. You can order a vinyl there. You can order a t-shirt. Anything you want. So just make sure to check that out. If you do want to support, and if you're like, hey, I don't really want to, you know, spend any money right now. I know the economy is tanking right now. just give us a follow on Instagram on Instagram would be great, but give us a follow on Spotify and give us a rating on Spotify as well. And that goes a really long way to just kind of get our content out there to more people. So highly recommend listening to the new Grumpster album. I say new, but it's about a year old. We talk about a lot of cool stuff on this one. We talk about 924 Gilman. We talk about them working with Asian Man Records. We talk about songwriting, about your old material versus your new material. It's all really good stuff. So if you have not checked out Grumpster, I highly recommend doing so. And I hope you enjoy this episode with Donnie Walsh. All right, well, I'm here today. I'm with Donnie Walsh of Grumpster. How you doing, Donnie?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. So we first met, I guess it's been a couple of months ago now, almost 3 months, when you guys came through St. Louis and played on your way to do this massive tour with the Dirty Nil. How did the tour go?
It was good. It was very long time, but good shows. I think we all together is like our headline dates plus the Nil dates. I think we ended up doing like 42 shows or like That's something crazy. Like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. So has that been your longest tour so far?
Yes. Yeah. I think before that, our longest was like, I want to say like 6 weeks, something like that. And then this one turned out is like anywhere from like 9 to 11.
Oh, wow.
Somewhere in that window. Yeah. It's crazy.
So do you have, when you go out for that long, do you guys have off days and stuff, or it was like one leg and then like a break and then another leg?
Yeah. So it was like, I think like, well, if you're counting our headline dates, it was like January 7th to February 9th, I think. So a little over a month. And then we had like 10 days off, and then the second leg was February 19th, and then we got home on March 18th, so like about another month. But we would have like, you know, 3 shows or so, and then like a day off, and then like a couple shows, and then a day off. So it like wasn't too like exhausting. Like we had enough time to recuperate.
Yeah.
I don't know how to get my text
sound
turn off, unfortunately.
Okay, no, that's all good. If it's dinging, yeah, we'll just know that you're popular and people are trying to reach you. So,
phone's blowing up. Just kidding.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, who else was? So it was Dirty Nil and you guys, and who else? Was there another band in there?
Yeah, the first leg, it was this band called House and Home.
I know that.
Opening, and then on the second leg, it was a band called MX Lonely.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're both awesome.
I'll have to check them out. I know House and Home. I'm not familiar with MX Lonely.
They're really cool.
I'm familiar with MXPX.
Oh, yeah. A little different.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, okay. So No, that's awesome. I was like rooting for you guys. I was watching your Instagram and everything. And I know you guys got stuck in of all places, Collinsville, Illinois. I used to live there.
Did you really?
Yeah. I lived there for 10 years. I mean, I live in St. Louis City proper now, but I lived there for 10 years. And I was like, oh my God, of all places, they're stuck in Collinsville.
I know. Cause we stayed in Collinsville, I think on like a different tour too. So we had been through the city/town like a few times. I think we even stayed there at another point, even on this tour. Or no, we stayed there after we had gotten stranded. Cause we're like, we know this place now.
Yeah.
When we were stranded though, we did find like a little farm to go to one of the days.
Okay.
It was just like a quiet little farm. We like hung out with like the goats and chickens and like played in the woods. So I was like, you know what? Making the best of our cursed time here.
Yeah. You got the van situation figured out, right?
Yeah, it was great. We had to like ditch our old van, just like get a new one. And we got the same van, just like a newer year.
Okay.
So, like kind of feels the same, but definitely not ideal for when you're heading out to a tour. I think it was like after we with you guys actually, or like 2 days later.
Yeah. I was kind of glad when I saw that happen. I was like, I'm glad this is kind of, because we went on tour like literally the weekend after that. We did like 4 days. Nothing compared to 42.
Yeah, dude. We were out, I did the math from the day we left to the day we got home. We were out for 70 days.
That's insane. Yeah. Well, I mean, I was kind of glad, and I'd be interested to hear your take on this. I was kind of happy for you guys that it happened at the beginning instead of like in the middle or at the end or something like that. I was like, maybe that's a blessing.
I kind of agree, because then like we had like a newer van, you know, to like get us through the rest of it. And we only ended up having to miss two shows because we missed our Pittsburgh headliner and then the first day of the NIL tour. Because if we hadn't just gotten that new van, they were like, well, you know, cause what happened was when we were going over like a speed bump, our transmission was shifting. And so it literally like cracked.
Oh.
And they were like, yeah, it's going to either be like this amount of money, which like we obviously like didn't have on hand, and then it'll be ready in a week, or y'all like ditch the van and just like find a new one. And we're like, well, if we miss like a week of shows, like that's going to set us back like so much.
Yeah.
So we kind of just had no choice there, but yeah, I guess like going into it with our new van and
yeah. Then, you know, maybe, okay, we got a new vehicle. Like we're not going to have any more issues like
exactly.
That type of thing. So,
yeah.
Cool. So, well, I'm super happy for you guys. I was rooting for you the whole way. So I was like, I was watching, I was like, I was living vicariously through you. So
we sent a few DMs back and forth.
Yeah. So, you guys have a new album. Well, I guess it's not quite a year out, been out for a year yet.
Almost this month, I think it turns one.
Okay. Yeah. So, I know it's coming up. I just ordered it on vinyl today. I didn't pick it up at the show. I don't know. It's like, you know, you're loading out and everything. And I was
overstimulated shows. Yeah.
But yeah, I ordered it. It's coming. It's on the way. It was definitely one of my favorite albums, that came out last year. In my top 10. Yeah. One of my favorite albums of the year. So I listened to it all the way through today twice as well.
Yes.
So, very, very stoked on this album. It's just Grumpster, right? It's self-titled. Okay.
Yeah, self-titled.
So tell me a little bit about, I saw you did a post, maybe a week or so ago about like, you know, forget that the other, like listen to the new album and forget the old albums exist. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? Cause I mean, I listened to some of the old stuff and I had been a fan of you guys like, with Fever Dream and everything, but like, there definitely is a shift in like the music.
I said, of course.
Oh yeah. There's definitely a shift in like the music and just like the maturity and like, you know, you guys have a couple albums behind you, but like, can you share a little bit about what you know, your thoughts on just that sentiment, like what you meant by that?
Yeah, of course. It's just kind of like, I feel so like our first album came out in like 2019, I want to say. And it did like pretty better than we thought it was going to do, you know, and people just like really, really, really love that album, and like that's awesome. However, like we, in my opinion, are just like a completely different band now. It's like we have Alex in the band now. Obviously, like I'm pretty different than when we first started, and it's just kind of like I feel that we're a little like almost misrepresented because of it. Because if you look us up on Spotify, for example, and this is something I thought about a lot with this tour, where it's like people seeing us for the first time, they get excited and then they're like, oh, I'm going to look them up on Spotify. And it's like Roots, and it's like Underwhelmed, and it's our songs from our first album that did really well, but it's like people aren't looking us up and finding the new album, which is what is representative of us now, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't know. I wish that the new album was kind of like pushed harder, especially when people are to look us up, because it's like, if you see our show now and like you fuck with it and then you go look us up and it's like our first album or it's like songs off of Fever Dream, it's just like, that's not really the same band anymore. And like, at a lot of these shows on this tour too, people were going up to the merch table and they were like people who were fans from like, you know, years back, they were like, did they get a new singer? Like, what is going on here? You know what I mean? And it's like, shit, like this is what we are now. And it's so like, it is a little frustrating to me that like, because of the Spotify algorithm and just the way like streaming numbers and stuff works, it's like until the new album's like streams and stuff surpasses our older songs, like it feels like we're always going to be represented as the band that we were, you know, and not the band that we are. So I'm like, please, like, run up the numbers on the new album. Because also, in my opinion, like, I think our new album is like so much better than the previous two, obviously for like personal reasons, but even just as a fan of this genre of music, you know what I mean? So it's a little complex I have, and I'm hoping that like one day like people do run up those numbers so that like we can be kind of represented in this way. But that's why I'm always like, I'm like, just forget it. Like, some of those people don't even exist anymore. Okay. Like, come on.
Yeah. Right. Right. No, I totally get that. And I've heard other bands say the same, other bands that have multiple albums out say the same. They're like, hey, you know, like everybody will always say, like I heard the guy from Movements was saying, you know, I saw a video on Instagram and he was like, people are saying, go back and listen to their old stuff. And he's like, no, like we want you to hear our new stuff. We want you to hear, like, you know, we'll play the classics and everything. They'll play Daylily. Like, of course they have to, you know, but like, you know, they want, like, that's the artist that you are now. And I would think that like every, you know, myself included, I'm always trying to evolve and grow and mature as a musician and as a songwriter. And you're like, no, I want you guys to listen to this new stuff. But to your point, yeah, it's like the old stuff, it's been out longer. So of course it's going to have more streams, and then Spotify puts it at the top. And I actually noticed that today. I was like, and you know, people don't think about like, I mean, I think this way. I'll be like, okay, well, what's their newest album? Like, I'll see, you know, we just went on tour with this band called Versus the World, and one of their songs has like 6 million plays from 2005.
No, it's exactly. And it's like, always going to be at the top.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, and then the next one after that is like 500,000. And I'm like, well, but to the average listener that goes in, they're just going to listen to that top song because it was on a video game back in 2006 or something like that.
Exactly.
And I'm like, no, you got to listen to the new albums. Like, you just have to dig a little bit deeper. You know what I mean? So,
right. I had this kind of like nightmare scenario happen when I was hanging out with some coworkers and we were like in the car together. And like one of them was just trying to like, you know, joke around with me and shit. And he like turned the music up hella loud and like started playing Grumpster. But it was like our old song, and I'm like, you know what, I don't like air my like personal business out at work. I'm just kind of like, I am where I am, and my like people don't need to know if they don't already know. And he like starts playing Grumpster and it's old songs, and I was like, yo, like turn this off, or like if you want to listen to the band, fine, please just like listen to the new album. And he's like, no, like I want to hear the hits. And he's like turning it up, and it's like this old ass, like these old ass songs. I was like, dude, this is so embarrassing for me. Also, I'm so sorry about the dinging.
Oh, like, no worries. No worries. It just it adds a real element to it.
Okay. But you know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, people are like, oh, I'm going to search up Grumpster, like, boop. And it's just all these old songs that, like, I do. And, you know, if it means something to you, I'm so happy, whatever. But, like, I wish people would just forget about it. I'm like, yeah.
No, I totally get that. And I appreciate you kind of diving into that because, you know, I feel the same way. I mean, you know, we have one of our songs that's at the top is like, you know, it's a song that it was like one of the first real songs. We have a bunch of demos and stuff, but one of the first real songs that we ever released, and we still play it, but it's like, I still want people to listen to the new stuff. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Yeah. It's like, so, you're not stuck in the past. Like, why do all these people have to be, you know?
Yeah.
I wish I could write to like the Spotify CEO. I'm like, you better take that shit down. Like,
I'm Donnie Walsh, bitch.
No, literally, I'm like, just like help someone out for once.
Right, right. No, totally. Yeah. So, I talked to you guys a little bit about this whenever you were here. We just played 924 Gilman for the first time.
Yeah.
And I actually went back and, I mean, of course, I knew a lot about the history of Gilman and just the scene there and everything. And I had talked to you guys a little bit about how you guys came up in that scene and mm-hmm. that was where you really kind of cut your teeth. Can you tell me a little bit about, like, how you guys got your start there? And I mean, you know, now you're a national touring band and everything, and you have labels and stuff that you're working with. But you know, can you tell us a little bit about like what it was like coming up in that scene at Gilman?
Yeah, it was really awesome. Like, I remember, so we were friends with a lot of the people who like worked at Gilman, when we kind of like started. And so, our friend Mateo, who I think he used to book there. I know he like did sound. He like recorded our first EP for us. And he was in this band Sarcasm, who was like similar, just like Gilman band, like very ingrained in the scene here. And so kind of just like the people that we were surrounded by and friends with when we first started were all super involved in Gilman. And so actually our first show ever was a Gilman show.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. So like right off the bat, we were like playing there, and then, yeah, just like kind of through like being friends with these people and like playing like local shows and like kind of becoming like a Gilman, like house band, you know, it's like if there's a show, like they'd hit us up and we'd play. And it's really nice. Yeah. Just like a really like supportive scene, like all of our bands and like friends bands, whatever, we would like always play together. Like if you look back, there's a couple like release shows where it's just like more or less like the same lineup, like for every like band's release, just like always kind of like playing with and for each other. Yeah, and it was really cool to come up there, especially for most, because like, you know, we all like look up to like Green Day and bands like that, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
So that was also really cool. But yeah, it was just like a really nice like supportive scene. Like we're all friends, we all like loved each other, and yeah, we played Gilman like so many times as we were coming up, and like our first couple of years as a band too, we were doing like, there were months where we would have like, honestly, like four shows a week, just like,
oh, wow,
relentlessly, not all at Gilman obviously, but yeah, we were playing there like monthly, sometimes a couple times a month, like any little like party event stuff that they would do, we would play. So it was really fun. I miss definitely like that scene from when we were coming up. Cause after the pandemic, it's like, that doesn't exist. I mean, there is a scene still, but
it's just not the
same. It's not the same one.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know, and like a lot of like the bands that we came up with like don't exist anymore, you know, and like some people like don't play music anymore, which everyone is like doing their own thing, and that's awesome. But definitely like it's not the same as when you would go to any Gilman show and you're like, damn, I know everyone here. Like now we go, we're like, who is everyone? Like, you know, not everyone.
Yeah. You know. How early on so are you from like Berkeley?
I'm from the East Coast originally, actually.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, I moved here when I was 19.
Okay, okay. So you pretty much, did you know, like, moving, when you moved out there, like, this was, did you know about Gilman and everything?
I did, yes, but I didn't know anyone here. I moved out here by myself because I wanted to start a band, and I was like, I want to be, like, in the East Bay music scene. Like, that sounds awesome, because I was into, like, Operation Ivy and, like, Rancid and bands like that. Yeah, so I just, like, really wanted to move out here and try to like break into that a little bit. Luckily it worked out. Like,
yeah. That's awesome. Yeah,
it was crazy. But that's the really rest cool. of the band, they're all local, like born and raised here.
Okay, that's awesome. That's really cool. So tell me, I mean, that's kind of like that, you know, I mean, I'm from the Midwest, and like, you know, I always wanted to tour in California, and we finally did. Which was so sick. It rained most of the time we were out there.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that recent?
Yeah, it was like the middle of March. About a month ago. Yeah, it rained.
End of winter. That's like the wettest season, honestly.
Yeah. There was a couple days we had that it didn't rain, but you know, that was kind of what you just said is kind of always the dream, is like, yeah, I'll move out to California and start a band and like I'll make it big. And and I mean, you guys have had you know, pretty, like, I don't know, I'd be interested to hear your take on it, but like your first album was with Asian Man, right? And then like the last two have been with Pure Noise. Like, can you tell me a little bit about like, when did you notice things were kind of taking off and you were like, you know,
yeah,
I mean, those are both awesome, reputable labels, you know?
I think, well, kind of the way it all happened was, we had been like, when we were making Underwhelmed, our first album, I'm hoping I like get the timeline of like all this right. Like, it was like 6 years ago, I think. But we had done like two EPs that we like self-released. And things were people are kind of like into this. Like, more and more people were like showing up to shows. Obviously, we weren't ever like expecting anything. And then we were just like chatting and like talking about like labels that we would like want to work with. And like, we're all like, Asian Man, you know, cause they're like kind of local, and like a lot of bands that like I really looked up to and was like inspired by, like came from Asian Man, like Alkaline Trio, like the Smoking Popes, like bands like that. And then we played our first like big show ever was Noise Pop in like March of 2019. And I remember we like posted a video of our set on Instagram, and then the like Asian Man Records account liked the post, and we were like, oh my God, like he noticed us. And so we come to find out that Mike Park had been like calling other like local bands and like friends of ours, kind of being like, what do you know about Grumpster? Like, tell me about Grumpster. So we kind of like heard through the grapevine that he was like inquiring about us.
So had you been reaching out already to him, or?
We hadn't been.
Okay.
Not
yet.
He was like talking to people about, like he's very like sneaky with that stuff. And so we had like heard from a few friends like, oh, Mike Park like called me and like asked about you guys. We're like, oh, we haven't heard anything from him. and then, yeah, I forget how the connection was made. Like, I think it was through Aaron at Lauren Records, maybe, reached out to us and was like, you guys should record at District Recording, which is a studio that, like, Mike helps run. And then through that, we kind of, like, connected with Mike a little bit just about, like, booking the studio time for Underwhelmed. And then we recorded it, and I remember we hit him up, and we were like, yo, like, we have an album. Heard you've been talking about us, like, are you okay, buddy? Oh, I think he's dreaming. Sorry,
okay. My dog's been coming in and out of here too.
Oh, yeah. So I don't know. You do?
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm going to turn the dings off on my thing.
Oh, okay.
How do you do it?
No worries.
Go to that.
Okay.
Go to
one moment.
Notifications.
Okay. I'm a boomer.
Go down. Go to messages. And just turn them off for now.
Oh, hell yeah.
Turn off the sound.
Okay, cool. No more dinging.
Okay. Thank you, whoever that was.
Yeah, shout out to Claire! So whatever. We hit him up and we're like, oh, we have this album. Do you want to put it out on Asian Man? He was like, are you sure you want me to, like, me? And we're like, yeah, you, like, what the hell? So, yeah, we signed to him, and then I think a moment when we really realized that, like, shit was kind of happening was we sold out our release show for that album, and like right off the bat, like people were singing like so loud I could like barely hear myself, and I was like, what the hell
That's
is like
sick.
Going on here. So that was just kind of crazy, and then I was like, we sold out Gilman. Like, it's our first, like, kind of, like, full-length album release. That's crazy. Yeah, and then kind of the rest is history from there. And then we made our second album, and Chris, number two, from Anti-Flag, produced that.
Okay.
And then he put us in contact with Pure Noise, and then that's how all that worked out.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, definitely Asia Man was where it all kind of started.
Yeah. I love that. I love that story that you just kind of put it out in the universe and like didn't reach out to him or anything, but he was also like looking for at like inquiring about you guys too. That's really cool.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, and we would just like hear from people like Mike Park is like asking about you guys, and we're like, well, he's not hitting us up. So like, what?
Yeah.
That's kind of his style, you know.
Right, right. No, that's really cool though. So tell me a little bit about okay, you have another guy in the band who also sings on a couple songs, right? Like, do you have like a primary songwriter? Like, are you the main person who writes most of the songs, or like, how does that kind of work for you guys?
I mean, now it's kind of like, I write the songs that I sing, and then Alex writes the songs that they sing. So we all definitely like pull our own weight. You know, we all pretty much write like the parts that we play, you know, and in the studio, like there's a little more collaboration when it's like, you know, I would like maybe write a little part that like Alex ended up singing or like vice versa. But sure, for the most part, like we write our own lyrics separately. Like we write our own like melodies, and like sometimes like one of us will bring a chord progression to the band, but we all embellish ourselves. Like no one is like, you have to play the drums like this, or like you have to play this on guitar. It's all very just like whatever each of us brings to the table. We all kind of do our own shit. But as for like, yeah, lyrics and like that part of the song, whoever's singing it typically wrote it.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah. That's really cool. I was just curious about that. Cause, you know, I've heard some like a little bit of different voices. I saw you guys had like a, there's a B-side at the end of your, album on streaming.
Yeah.
So is that on the vinyl too?
I don't think so. Okay. Originally the album was going to be 15 songs. Then we cut two to be B-sides, and then only one got released, and I'm really hoping the label forgot about the other one, cause I like do not want that to come out, but I think they did forget, which is awesome.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah. Well, I'm stoked to get the vinyl. I'm stoked to spin it on vinyl. Since my band, put out a record like a little over a year ago. And since a little bit before that, I started like collecting vinyl a little bit more, like nothing crazy. I'm not like digging in crates every weekend trying to find like the first pressing of whatever album. But you know, when an album comes out that I really like, or you know, a band that we tour with that I'm like, okay, I want to get their vinyl. I want to support them.
It's good to have the physical.
It is. And there's something really cool about when I want to have time to sit down and actually listen to the whole thing. And I try to do like, you know, maybe smoke a little bit, like, you know,
of course. the beginning to end listen is so important. And it's like something that people don't think about. Cause I have like friends, no offense to any of them, but some of my friends are like, I'm like an album shuffler. Like I'll put on an album and shuffle it. And I'm like, track listings are picked for a reason. Like it's supposed to be listened to in a specific order, like not to be a snob, but like, I'm like, don't shuffle it. Like,
Well, I think it was a few years ago that, Adele, she somehow got Spotify to take the shuffle button off of her album because she wanted everybody to listen to it like all in.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's still there or not, but when it came out, she did. I was like, oh wow, that's a really cool idea. Like, I wouldn't have the power to do that, but
no, I'm like, wait, if writing to Spotify actually does something, maybe I will send that email.
Well, Donnie, this has been like, I'm trying to keep these episodes like short and sweet for now, like, you know, 30, 40 minutes. So like, we're kind of hitting like 30 minutes. Like this has been so cool to talk to you. Like I would hang out with you as like, if you lived around here, like I would totally go get a beer with you. So
you got some good banter.
Yeah. Hell yeah. So next time you guys are in town, or if I'm out that way, like I definitely want to keep in touch and like, you know, hang out, talk a little bit, whatever. So, yeah, what do you guys have up going on as far as Grumpster goes? Do you have any more tours, or are you taking a break, recording, writing?
Yeah, we're chilling right now. Everyone has to recover a little bit from the 70-day excursion, but yeah. we are writing stuff. I think we want to do like an EP or something, just to like release something. But I'm kind of excited this summer. I kind of want to go back to our like local band roots and just like play local shows that are like for fun, like shows that like don't feel like we're at work and like on a job,
yeah.
You know? So I'm very excited to do that. I want to do some like house shows and just like fun for the love of music type shows.
Yeah.
You know?
So yeah.
I'm very excited for that. And then I think like maybe fall time or later we'll start touring again, but definitely a little relaxing break.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is in the cards right now. Yeah.
I think that's smart. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go back to normal for a little bit. You know what I mean?
Like we got an offer to go out again this summer, and like I was hanging out with one of our agents and he was like, honestly, I almost like didn't even tell you about this. And he's like, I know you guys just probably want to chill. And I was like, honestly, decline for now.
Yeah.
You need to relax. Like, yeah.
For sure. Have you noticed like a change in, well, I mean, you said that you were already like doing that, you know, you sold out your album release and everything, but like, have you noticed that as you guys have kind of grown on like a national level, that at home, like, have your home shows gotten bigger and like more people kind of paying attention to what you're doing in your local area?
It's hard to say because we honestly don't get to play local like as much as we used to. But I mean, every time we do play here, it's awesome. You know what I mean? Like the people like come out and it's like really fun. So, and we also play, cause like we sold out like multiple releases at Gilman, you know, and then like sometimes we'll play at like Bottom of the Hill, and like we haven't been back to Gilman in like a couple years, you know, so it's a little hard to say, but the people still be rolling out, so that's all I know.
Hell yeah. Awesome. Well, Donnie, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. This has been awesome. Stoked to talk to you. Love your new record. And it's Grumpster CA on Instagram, right?
I think, yeah.
Okay.
You know where to find us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll probably, this will be up probably on Thursday. So yeah, if you could send me a photo for the thumbnail of you playing bass and singing or something like that, that would be dope. So
hell yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Donnie. I hope you have a great night. And yeah, I hope that this is not the last time we cross paths.
I don't think so. I doubt.
Me neither. We're linked now,
baby. Got each other on the gram.
Yeah. All right. See you, buddy.
I'll see you. Bye.